Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We need revival in America. We need revival in this state. We need revival in this church. You need revival in your home. I need revival in my own heart. We got to get serious about serving God. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll start with verse 6 or chapter 5. Let's go there first and just read one verse. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. By the way, it took him 7 years to build that first temple. 7 years, and it was not a small feat. Without the last 4 years' inflation, without that entering into the equation, it cost the people of Israel $300 billion to build this temple. Now, I know that this is New Testament, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if that Old Testament temple was equipped that way, I think it really matters how we live and how we talk and how we dress and where we go. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if they were willing to spend $300 billion, they gave up cities, Solomon did, cities in order to pay and finance for some of the, there was I think 100 talents of gold covering that temple. $300 billion. That's why when the Queen of Sheba came, she saw it took her breath away. Oh, that the Church of Jesus Christ would be that way. Oh, that the Church of Jesus Christ would, when the world, the unsaved, look at the church, they'd take their breath away. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about seeing people's changed lives. And not only that, and that's good preaching, by the way, and that is New Testament preaching, but I also think, even though God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, and God, Jehovah, made that very clear. Man, you can't make a house for me, Solomon. David, you can't make a house for me. I'm the God of gods, the King of kings. The earth is my footstool. How can you make a house? And that's New Testament theology. It's the truth. I'm the temple. You're born again. You're the temple. And at the same time, I want the church house to bring honor to God. I don't know. There's add-ons I'd like to see in the addition. One of the things there's a little bit more, and it isn't in the equation, I'd love to have a red cedar ceiling in here, man, all the way through it. I love the smell of red cedar, number one, and the tabernacle had the cedars of Lebanon. But that's not a do or die thing. But I just want people to come and say, hey, you know what? Nice meeting house for the born again people in this area. That's a good testimony. I want them to go by in the road and say, man, there's something going on there. And then see changed lives. So, first of all, Solomon finishes the temple, chapter 5, verse 1. It also says in that verse, and Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, and the silver, and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. And then chapter 6 and verse 12, just page over there quickly. Chapter 6 and verse 12. This is Solomon. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. And Solomon prayed a prayer of dedication. And then we come to chapter 6. And there's good preaching there, man. I got three outlines in that chapter. Then we come to chapter 7. And now God answers that prayer. God does his part. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Verse 2 says, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. What happens is God shows up. The temple is physically built. It doesn't contain God. But that is a representation of the work of God in the whole world at that time. It took 7 years to build. It cost $300 billion. The people are going to respond right. But before they do, here's Solomon. He stands up before all the people. He lifts up his hands and prays a eloquent, powerful, God-anointed prayer. And at the end of the prayer, Shekinah glory enters the Lord's house. Shekinah glory enters the temple. You see, without God, the Holy Spirit, it's just four walls. That's all it is. Without the presence of God in the ministry, all it is religious activity. That is all it is. And I'm so afraid that that'll happen someday here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And I know it happens with individuals, and it's always a great concern to the pastoral staff. And we have to guard our own hearts as well. It's more than just the outward adorning. It's more than just the outward appearance. We need the breath of heaven. We need Holy Spirit punch in the ministry of God. You got some neighbors that aren't yet born again. You got some quote-unquote tough cases, people that have heard the gospel and have not responded correctly, or people that have never heard the gospel. Man, we need the breath of heaven. We need a fresh breeze from the homeland on this dry and parched earth in which we live. It's going to happen through the Church of Jesus Christ when we get serious with God. Stand with me, please, one more time. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. America's hurting. We're in trouble. Good is evil and evil is good. If you look to the world for standards and you look to the world for philosophy, you're going to make a shipwreck of your life. Because that's what this world, that's the way the world is. Between 7 and 8 out of 10 people have no church affiliation at all in this quote unquote religious nation. Christian nation? No. It is a religious nation, but without Christ. And revival will come when there's surrender and repentance. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Oh, we need that. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God bless this message. These people don't need to hear me. May they hear the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon ended his praying. Verse 1. It says that fire came down from heaven. God answered that prayer. And consumed and burnt the offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. God moved in. There's no room for man as far as the glory of God. This world does not need man. It doesn't need another man. It doesn't need another preacher. It doesn't need another philosophy. It doesn't need another empty church. This world needs Jesus Christ. And when he moves in, Shekinah glory, that's Old Testament tabernacle, Shekinah glory, pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, all the entire encampment and all of the heathen nations, Gentile nations around the Hebrews knew that Jehovah God marches before the Hebrew people. And that's what we need in the Church of Jesus Christ. We got to do a better job of exalting him. Verse 3 says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. This is not a casual religion. This was great worship. This was not a casual religion. This is great exaltation. They did the only thing they could do, the only thing that was left, and they were there for the tabernacle, they were there for the temple dedication. There was Bible teachers, Bible theologians, those that study and they're really into this, and I read all week long about this. They believe that there at the temple, there were probably, because it went outside the temple and down the street, and it's described later in the chapter, probably can you imagine a million Israelites, Jews, there for the dedication of the temple. Man, they were there, and when the fire came down after King Solomon had prayed, and the fire came down, man, they bowed themselves to the ground. They got low. They got as low as they could get. That's the opposite of the American Christian today. Amen. We stand tall before God, and we think, you know, God, you do it my way. I need your blessing. I need your stamp of approval. That's all I need, God. I'll handle this whole thing. I've got my life planned out. I know what I want to do. God, just bless me. Just bless me. Can I tell you that's not worship? Worship is bringing sacrifice and offering. That is so foreign in churches today. Worship is, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I have a great outline here, but forget it, all right? Worship is giving, not taking. You ought to come to the church house in the morning and give yourself to God. You had to come to the church house on Sunday night and you know, put your best on. If your best is a wrinkled t-shirt, that's good. But put your best on. You don't dress down. You dress up. You're going to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We owe him everything. It's all of grace and all of mercy. If anybody's got reason to worship, it ought to be us. If anybody's got reason to exalt Jesus Christ, it ought to be the born again, forgiven Christian, the one whose sins have been washed away. Man, we ought to come to worship. That's a term they used to use down south all the time. You don't hear that much anymore. Where are you going today? I'm going to worship. That's wonderful. And here's the truth, though. We get. God gives it to us. But sometimes I think we get the wrong philosophy, wrong mindset. I'm doing God a favor going to church. You got to be kidding. Man, he gave me life all week long. He protected me when I didn't even know I needed protection. He's been there. His mercy is endureth forever. And they came to worship. So when the fire came, they fell. They got on their knees. They got on the pavement. Let's read on. First there was prayer. And then God overwhelms them with his power, and he really takes over the temple. The fire falls, verse 3. They worship because God is good and God is merciful, verse 3. Look at verse 4, says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. That's a lot of blood. 32,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. Great sacrifice. They gave their best. Some of us don't even tithe. And that belongs to God. How about worship? Verse 6 says, and I don't have anybody in mind. I'm not chewing anybody out. Our offerings the last couple of weeks have been way over the top. I mean, God takes care of us. He does. But I want you to be part of God's blessing. So tithe, bring the tithe into the storehouse, that's God's, and worship, sacrifice, give something. The priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. We ought to be praising him. Great respect. When David praised by their ministry and the priests sounded trumpets before them and all Israel stood. Again, they're on their knees, they're on their faces, on the pavement, worshiping God. And then they're standing up and they're standing out of complete respect for God and they're worshiping him. It's not about them. They have come to worship Jehovah God. And there he is, Shekinah glory, in their presence. They have great respect for him. Again, it's not a casual thing. Let's invite everybody. Let's bring people. And Gentiles were invited to this, by the way. But invite everybody. And people are going to come to church. And they're not going to be dressed right. That's fine. We'll love them. But they aren't going to lead anything. They're not going to be up front. But listen, those of us that need revival, don't dress down to them. Give your best to God. If I can only help you to understand worship, and I'm not an end all in that. I'm not. I come to church to get to. Man, I prosper. I am encouraged by the fellowship of God's people, my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. I get that way. I get because God blesses me over the top, over and over. I love the singing. It always blesses my heart. I hear the singing of God, you know, of Bible principles and the Word of God kind of flows through some of the lyrics. And man, it just blesses my heart to hear a congregation sing. You know, it's a wonder. It blesses my heart to hear the choir sing, even the solos that get in there, unplanned solos every once in a while. That blesses my heart, man. But we need to get back to humility and revival. Next week, we have our revival meeting, spring revival with Byron Fox. He's a good preacher. He's anointed. It's going to be a wonderful time. And if we're serious, a lot of people are going to get saved. But the church has got to get revived. Let me read on a couple more verses. Verse 6. And the priests waited in their offices, and the Levites also their instruments. Verse 7, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. There was so much given by way of offerings, the sacrifices, that the brazen altar itself was not enough. So they had to temporarily have a great overflow. There were so many people there, perhaps a million people, that stretched outside the temple. Let's read on. Verse 8. And at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river of Egypt. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly, and they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. A church ought to be a happy place. It's a little preface to heaven. When people come to church and we lift our voices in praise, and people come to church and we rub shoulders and we shake hands and we pat one another on the back, and then we focus on the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word, and our souls feast and our spirits are strengthened, man, it ought to be a happy time. We ought to leave the church house rejoicing. We enter into the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving. We come to worship because of the mercy that endureth forever, and the grace of God that is real. Okay, I preached right on through as far as I want to go. I want to get down to verse 12 of chapter 7. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. I better read verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. Can I tell you, there's nothing too good for my God? There's nothing too good for the God above? Now, normally there's a whole lot of amens in this church. Here's what I'll think. I'll think, okay, God's convicting hearts. I hope that's the case. Do you agree with me? There's nothing too good for God? All right, we know that. Okay, I just want to make sure you're alive out there. Because usually when I'm preaching, there's amens all over the place. And this morning, if it's a holy hush, I'm good with that. We don't need to make anything up. My God is so good to me. I have difficult days and mountains in my life just like everybody else. But my God overwhelms it all. There is nothing. If God took away everything I have, I still have God. I still have more than I deserve. He has blessed me over the top. Why do we turn from him? Why do we get cold? Solomon said, man, I know all this money has been given, and I know this, the temple is now, it's now complete, but there's more. And everything that God touched his heart with, he did it. He did it. He kept doing it and kept doing it because you could never outlove God. You could never outgive God. And the church is to be a happy place, but at the same time, we are to do all that is needed. We get this building up, the additions on, at 200 seats. All that will be needed is the presence of God. All that will be needed is Shekinah glory. All that will be needed is for the fire to fall. That comes by way of the gospel. All that will be needed is for God's people to get revived. All that will be needed is for the church of Jesus Christ to get on fire for God. And the whole county will take notice. The 36,000 people in what used to be 38. It's 36,000 some odd people in Chippewa County. 5,000 something in Luce County. And I think it's about 9,000 down in Mackinac County. And then there's the counties below the bridge. The gospel isn't bound by county lines. We need to get the gospel out everywhere in every place we can. We got to get serious about this thing called revival. Look at verse 14. I know you know it well. God speaks to Solomon that night in verse 12. He says, I've heard your prayer. And I want you to know, Solomon, I have chosen this place as a house of sacrifice. That had to make Solomon feel good. It's fulfilling to be in the middle of God's will for your life. It is satisfying to be in the middle of center of God's will for your life. And then God makes a promise, but he says, if I shut up heaven, if the blessings stop, and there be no rain, agricultural society, of course, if we don't get rain, it will shut us down too. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, God makes a promise to Solomon. God makes a promise to Solomon that applies to the Church of Jesus Christ. God will see you through any battle. God will be there for you every time. He'll not forsake you. He will not let you down. That's why I don't fear the future. That's why I don't fear, even if we have real tough times in America and great persecution in America, it doesn't matter. We still serve the King of Kings. And God has made a promise to the Old Testament Hebrew and to the house of David, and he makes a promise to the New Testament church, just in other words in the New Testament, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, you got one thing to do. You be humble, you surrender, and you repent of your sin. Don't you start serving other gods, because I'll come down like a hammer. That's my paraphrase. That's what we're going to read. He tells Israel this. He said, you'll just be a byword. You'll be gone. Don't you start serving other gods. America, stop serving other gods. The Church of Jesus Christ, stop bowing down to all these little idols along the way. God makes a promise, if my people, that's Christians, New Testament, those that were named the name of Christ, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God says to his people, I'll always be there. You can always count on me. You just humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want you to know, I know this. There's very little praying going on. I know how the human heart is built. I've got one. I know how hard it is to get with even brother preachers on Saturday night and spend that prayer, that time in that national prayer call and regional prayer call. I know how hard that is. I know how busy you can get during the day, and instead of the first thing you do, it's the last thing you do. You come to a problem and you cry out to God for deliverance. That really isn't a prayer life, not at all. That's just being that little baby that's crying for milk all the time. That little immature Christian that really can't do anything, you know, and doesn't look to God in any way, shape, or form until they get in trouble, and then they cry out to God, God, where are you? Man, I need you. Why aren't you here? He says, humble yourself. Amen. Surrender and pray. Seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways. That's repentance. Too many in the family of God are willing to pray, but not forsake. Hang on to the toy, hang on to the world, hang on to the loves of this world, and they are elusive. And you'll never really have them in your hands. And you'll lose them. He says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. There's nothing wrong with America that one generation of revival in the New Testament church cannot change. Can I say this in this election year? I'll say it several times this year. November's election will not change the core of America. Our only help will come from above. Amen. The White House is not the answer. It's the church house. Repenting of sin. Humbling themselves. Repenting of sin. Don't pack your little idols in your suitcase and go to God and say, oh, God bless me. No. Getting low. Surrender. Repentance. He said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Let's read the rest of the chapter quickly. And I'm going to do this real quick. Mine eyes shall be open. Mine ears attent unto the prayers, the prayer that is made in this place. He said, you can count on me. When you pray, when you repent and you pray, I will be there. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Can I tell you something? God is waiting for us to cry out for revival. God is waiting for the New Testament church and the United States of America to get serious and to humble themselves and to cry out in repentance. God says, I will hear your prayer. My eyes are open unto it. I will deliver you. Verse 17 says, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe thy statutes and my judgments. In other words, it's connected to the book. To the Bible. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes, that's the Bible, and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, listen, Church of Jesus Christ, the church belongs to Jesus. But if we take it unto ourselves and we think we're big and bad and we make it all about us and it's all about me and it is my ministry, man, we're just going to be a just some fluff in the wind, just a byword. Remember when that church used to be over there? I wonder whatever happened to those people. Instead of the glory of God and a reflection of Shekinah glory. If you turn away, I'll pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast it out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto the land, unto this land, and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. How many of us, we've been saved for a while, and we know churches that used to be great churches, and they're not. They used to have an altar call. Man, there used to be fire in the music. The preacher would stand up and he'd just let her rip and exegete the scripture, and they'd have an altar call, and people would be getting right, and there'd be tears and people getting saved through the ministry all week long. Man, that church, man, it was aflame with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now it's just a byword. We're traveling across the UP, Pastor Bill and myself, in that rented U-Haul truck. I've been around enough. I'm real familiar with a lot of churches in the Upper Peninsula. In fact, for a lot of time, I went to youth groups in all those churches over there when I was in my junior high years and early high school years before we moved back to the eastern end. And I could name the pastors that were pastoring those little churches all across the Upper Peninsula. We traveled across 28. We went through all kinds of little towns. And then I'd point the towns up the way this way and up the way that way and name the pastors. They're not even evangelistic anymore. See, how does that happen? They got away from the word of God and started worshiping the idols of this world. They wouldn't word it that way, but that's exactly what happened. We need revival. Fundamental is a wonderment. I love this church. I love you people. I love the people that aren't even saved yet and aren't even here yet, and they're going to be here. Man, I just love it. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm so grateful. I pinch myself. How can it be I pastor this kind of church? God is so good, just so good. Thank you for your faithfulness over the years. Thank you for everybody here that I've offended and you still come to church here. God bless you. You're maturing in the faith. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how it is in families. Families, they butt heads once in a while, but you're still family, man. And you go on for the glory of God because we have a greater cause. His name is Jesus, and is the salvation of the world. And that gospel is to be preached to every creature. We're to go forth and send forth the truth. We've got this time right now. This little dispensation of time right now, from the teenagers, the grade school kids, from the young men up here in this first row to all through the congregation, we have got to reach the world now because time is running out. I know. You heard that Jesus has been coming. You've been hearing that for 25 years. I know that, and we're that much closer. And one day that trumpet is going to sound. I'm going to hear it in my ear, bang, we're going to be gone. Talking about Ken going home to heaven yesterday, Dave McDonald the week before, and we're sending loved ones there all of the time, one at a time, and by the way of man, by way of the grave, but they're ushered in the presence of God, absence in the body, present with the Lord. That's what the scripture says. But you know, there's a day coming, we may not have to go that way. We might all go once. It might just be a glad reunion. We meet the Lord in the clouds, and he takes us home to heaven. It's going to happen soon. I know you've heard that for years. Listen to me. I'm done. Listen to me. I'm trying to close this off. I want to make this abundantly clear. You have heard that Jesus is coming for several years now. We are one day closer than we have ever been before in church history. One day soon. Don't you look at me and say afterwards, man, you didn't tell me. Don't. One day soon, it's going to happen. You say, bang, there it is. Oh, just like, I never thought it'd be today. Here we are. Man, look at the brethren. There's our Lord in the presence of God. What a day that's going to be. I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be soon. Got to reach the world. We've got to reach our counties around us. We've got to reach our neighbor. He's coming soon.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.